Selma, I want to say a very good morning to you and to tell you that it's a very good time to bring all these, our knockout series on giving, to a sound scriptural conclusion. You know, we started, we have like 5 or 6 episodes on giving. Mm-hmm. And if you remember yesterday, we gave this clarion call for you to upgrade your system, you know, from this sowing and reaping and come to a better and higher operating system. And I just hope you've heeded the call. So today we're going to continue and bring this to a sound scriptural conclusion on this giving, the sowing, the reaping, and all the questions that have been coming. So I'm going to leave you to kick off.
Yeah, viewers all over the world, thank you for joining us again today on this knockout series on giving. Now, if you've been with us for quite some while on this particular series, what we are focusing on is to knock out all those false ideologies in the body of Christ that are depriving us of the benefits of redemption. And you see, most of the practices that we're actually engaging in the body of Christ are as innocent as we think they are. Because if we subscribe to them, Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 tells us that we can miss out on the benefits of Christ. And those are the things we are knocking out on this series. Now, up to yesterday, what we've established before we actually left off yesterday was the fact that most people who actually talk about the issue of giving in the church as a means through which you can gain God's favor, they always subscribe to the law of sowing and reaping. And they simply tell you that the reason why you need to sow by giving is because so that you can reap abundantly back from God. And this is what people talk about. And they mostly kind of go back to the sayings of Jesus, that Jesus himself actually subscribed to the same notion. And that's the very thing we are investigating on this series today. Now, if we started that yesterday, we're going to go on with that today. We began to look at the book of Luke chapter 6. What does the scripture say? What's the mindset of God regarding sowing
and reaping?
That's what we're looking at. And we actually invite you to join us on this journey. Now, we began to look at book of Luke chapter 6 yesterday, and we'll make progress with that today. Now, quickly, I will go to Luke chapter 6 verse 36, if you please. Now, verse 36 simply says, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful." Now, you see, here is Jesus. Now, don't forget, the goal of what we are going to today is Luke chapter 6, which is verse 38. What people say, Jesus said, "Give, it shall be given unto you." But don't forget that Luke chapter 6 verse 38 is not a standalone verse in the Bible. There are actually things that actually happened that Jesus said before verse 38. And you see, one of the ways you can actually interpret the scriptures and not go wrong is to contextualize the scripture. It's called proper exegesis, when you actually look at the context in which the statement was made and in which it was actually spoken about in the scripture. It'll be hard for you to go wrong with your interpretation. So Luke chapter 6 verse 36 says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." So what it's simply saying is, I'm asking you to show mercy because the Father showed mercy. Now, in simple terms, it means God is expecting you to express the Father's nature. Now, it means this is why the grace of God is completely different from the doctrines of men. It means the grace of God doesn't demand from you anything that God has not put in you. I repeat, the grace of God does not make any demand on you beyond what God has placed in you. And that's the reason why God never asks you to be righteous unless he knows that you already made what?
Righteous
in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible simply says that he that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. So it means then, you were already righteous because Jesus was made sin. Your righteous act never makes you righteous. But of course, if you are righteous, you will act righteous. So grace only demands you to act in accordance to who you are. It is the law of men, the traditions of men, that actually ask you to perform beyond what you have. So grace never asks you to do what you are not. Grace only asks you to express your true nature. And that's the reason why if you read the Bible with the lens of the law, with the lens of men's traditions, you will read other things into the scripture. For example, when the Bible asks us to be holy, he only said that because according to the scriptures, he said, "You are a holy nation." Can you see that? Okay. He said, "You are a royal priesthood." That's the book of Peter. He said, "You are a holy nation." Not you are in the process of becoming holy. He said, you are a holy nation. But you see, you wonder, if the Bible says you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that's the scripture, 2 Peter, then again, in another verse, in 1 Peter 1, it says, be holy. Now, the only way you can interpret that is to say, can you act the way you have? So here again, it's saying, just act. It's to be merciful as your Father is what? You've got a Father's life. You've got a Father's nature. You can only but act the way you have. You have the DNA of God. Now, watch this. Watch this. Acting merciful doesn't make you merciful. You are merciful. You act merciful because you are merciful. Now, I think I'll say that again. I'll slow down a bit to say that. I say it again. Acting merciful doesn't make you merciful. But you act merciful because you are what? You are full of mercy. That's your nature. So Jesus is simply saying, I'm inviting you to act like your Father, to act like the way you are. Express your nature again. So he says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. And he says, how does this connect to the giving thing we are talking about? This is seriously fundamental to the nature of giving, because Jesus, in the next few verses in Luke chapter 6, will start to talk about giving. Now, this is actually... this actually connects a lot to the old concept of giving. If you don't forget this, we've actually made a verse very prominent in our previous series on this giving. We simply said that when Paul told the Corinthian brethren to give, he started out by telling them that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. I'm not asking you to do something beyond what you already have. Now he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that even though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. Somebody asked us a question on one of our videos. The person asked the question, what is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is it? And we said, simple. The Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. What's the grace? That Jesus was rich, yet for our sakes, he gave it all. Now he said, if you know that grace, you would know that you have been invited into the same grace where you also know that you are rich. And that you just bless because you know you are rich. And that's the invitation. So I was simply saying that giving must be taught from that perspective. And again, Jesus is simply saying, I'm asking you to show mercy because your Heavenly Father who lives in you is the God of mercy. You have the nature of mercy. Now let's go on. It says in verse 37, it says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Now condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now if you were with us yesterday, we actually looked at the previous verses. Now, I would actually encourage you, if you're listening to this particular episode today, please take your time out to read Luke chapter 6 from verse 31. You would notice that Jesus contrasted how we should live life compared to other people who are sinners, who are not of God. And it's a contrasting view that we have here, because what he said in previous verses was, he says, listen to this, he said, do good unto others as you want them to do unto you. But it simply said, don't pay people back in accordance to what they do to you. And then we clarify that, because how can Jesus say to us to do unto other as we want them to do unto us, but he's not asking us to do to them as they actually did to us? And just simply put, Jesus knows that other men are not of the spirit of Christ. He knows they don't have the nature of God. So the only thing men can do to you is to repay you back based on what you do to them. It's not their fault. Men operate by the law of sowing and what? And reaping. You do good to them, they do good to you. You do them well, they do you well. So Jesus said, if you expect them to treat you well, if you don't expect them to condemn you, if you don't expect them to judge you, don't what? Don't judge them. So it is about them. It's about what they do to you. But the same Jesus in previous verses simply says, if you only do good to them that do good to you, he said, why are you different from sinners? So it means then, this law of sowing and reaping, Jesus is simply saying, don't operate that principle for you. Even though other people will operate it on you, but you don't operate it on them. I think that should be clear enough. Yeah. So it's simply saying, the reason I'm saying don't judge them is because they don't have a choice. They operate by law of sowing and reaping. Okay. If you judge them, they are going to judge you anyway. So Jesus said, well, if you want them to react to you well, just treat them well. It's a problem with them. They can only operate by sowing and reaping.
They only understand that language.
They only understand the language of sowing and reaping. That's what they do. So it means just give them what they understand. But for you, don't ever treat people only based on how they treat you. And that's why if you go to the previous verses, you can see what Christ is saying. So simply put, this issue of judge, you should not be judged, and condemn, you will not be condemned. Don't condemn so you don't get condemned. Jesus is asking you to do that to men, because they don't understand beyond the law of sowing and reaping. And I think that should be well clear enough in this context. And listen to this. The next verse 38, which is the key verse that most people actually use. I don't know how many times people have actually used this verse as a means to raise an offering. People have used Luke chapter 6, verse 38, as a precursor, as a verse to actually motivate people to give an offering. Let's see what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 actually says in this regard. I'll read slowly. It says, give. Okay, see that? Give. And it shall be given unto you. Now, we need to find out two things. Who will give you back when you give? Who is the one doing the giving? Now it says, give, and it shall be given to you. Now, good measure, pressed down, and shaking together, and running over, shall God. Is that what's in your verse?
No.
Again, it says, it is a shall God. It is a shall your heavenly Father. Now, watch, see, when you read the scriptures, let's read between the lines. It is a shall God. It is a shall your Father in heaven. It says, shall men. That's the language men understand. You see that? Shall men give unto your bosom? Can you see that? Jesus is saying the same thing he's been saying in context from verse 31. He's saying the men of the world you deal with, they only understand sowing and reaping. Mm. It means in the time of their crisis, if you help them, when you two are in crisis, they will help you. They don't have the spirit of Christ. Men only understand the law of sowing and reaping. In fact, it's so bad that in some cases, some people even do you worse than you did them. But at least you can guarantee that if you did them well, they would do you well. So Jesus is simply saying, because there's men of this world, because it's natural men, men who have not the spirit, because all they understand is sowing and reaping. So I'm asking that if you want them to treat you well, if you want men to give to your bosom, try to make sure you give them as well. Because if you think they will give you, if you don't give them, you're deceiving yourself, because all people understand is sowing.
And that's reaping. The best they could do.
That's the best that men understand. So it means when people use this verse, now two things that are wrong with using this verse to teach about offering is this. Number one, it doesn't even talk about God giving you back anyway. So I don't know why this verse is applicable to God. It says, shall men give to your bosom? Yesterday, we laid a fact out yesterday that Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, yeah, the ravens, they consider the ravens. They don't even sow. They don't even reap. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the Father is telling you and I, don't put me in the box of sowing and reaping. Don't do it. It's not good. It's not fair on God. If you box God up into sowing and reaping, God doesn't give you what you deserve. God only gives you what Christ deserves. You never get what you deserve. If you get what you deserve, you're going to get debt. I'm telling you, if God was going to try to relate to us based on what we deserve, we'd get destruction. No matter how perfect you think you are, you see, you still don't measure up to God's standard. So the reality is we only get what Christ deserves, not what we deserve. God is not by the law of sowing and reaping. God is simply saying to you and I how to relate with natural men. That's what this Luke 6 verse 38 is written about. Now listen, even though God said to us how to relate with natural men, it's not amazing that he is asking us not to relate with men with that same principle. Can you see that? God is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Have you noticed? He said, be merciful as your Father is what?
Merciful.
Have you noticed? Now, please, let's backtrack. Let's backtrack. He never said, be merciful because they were merciful to you. Can you read that in your Bible? It's not there in your Bible. He didn't say, be merciful because men were merciful to you. He only said, be merciful as your Father is merciful. It's just the nature of your Father. Can you see that? But when he's going to talk about men who are natural men, he said, well, for them, if you want them to give to you, better give to them. That's it. Now, so people have asked this question about what about Luke 6:38? We've actually broken this down to you. It is about men. It is not about God. It's about men. And you see, there's nothing wrong when you relate with men this way. That's how men think. That is how far men understand life. Men have to go through life based on their own effort. They have to sow their own seed so they can get their own reaping. So now we've established Luke 6:38 is not applicable to you to live by. It is for men around you to live by. And that's what we've established today. So again, we're simply saying God himself never operates by the law of sowing and reaping. He never does. He never does. If he did, then what Jesus said in the gospel about the Father feeding the ravens, even though they don't sow or reap, will not be true. But Jesus, we know everything he said is truth, because the Bible says he is grace and truth all by himself. Now we've established that fact.
And okay, I just want to say, now that we've clarified Luke chapter 6, verse 38, so we just want to enjoin everybody not to be using that verse mischievously again anymore.
If you do...
Because we see that Luke 6, 38 is not in isolation. We see the fact that he was talking about them from 6, 31, from 30... He was talking, give to people, give back, if they do this, it was in continuation. So if you show mercy, if you lend to people, don't expect to return back.
He said if you lend to people, don't expect to get back from them. He said if you give people that can give back to you, he said, how are you different from sinners? So Christ is saying you don't operate the law of sowing and reaping. So, even though people can operate that law on you, don't operate it on people.
And you cannot reduce it to offering, because it cuts across every aspect, like justice, judgment,
condemnation.
How do you learn? So many things it cuts across. So you cannot just come on 38 and say this is about just all money. You know, that's a mischief there, because it talks about everything, even in judgment, in condemnation, how they operate, and it cuts across all aspects of human life. And then to that giving, so shall men give unto your bosom. But you know, some people will just do, some people, you know, to read their whole greed into that, they said that God will make men, you know, even if God wants to bless you, he will still use men. So, but you they are taking that in isolation of.
Well, you've mentioned something very important. Even if people think that God can only use men to bless you, now listen. Jesus has established from Luke chapter 6, from verse 31 all the way to verse 38, is established. I'm simply saying to you that you cannot operate that principle. I repeat, that's why he says, you don't give only to the people who can give back to you. Don't do it.
Yes, we know if you give to men, they will give back to you.
Jesus said, if that's your motivation, you have just brought yourself down to the thinking of sinners. That's why he says, don't sinners do the same.
If when you sow, like we said yesterday, when you sow, you get back in returns and folds, you know, even when you plant things.
That's a natural concept.
So if you give to somebody good, you will get those measure back, pressed down, you get it in percentage, in folds, in other fold, running over, because it's law of sowing and reaping. We bring abundance in that realm. But if you remember yesterday, we told you that there's a realm of sowing and reaping, which you get in the same in percentages of what you gave. But we saw the higher system yesterday when with the parable of that good man when he gave the servant talent, and when he's giving it back, to tell you, we were able to sensitize you to see that beyond that, the level of sowing and reaping, to see that they were giving cities back. That is even in a scale that is beyond the returns. Because what you can see is just that the best of the main system of sowing and reaping is to give you the same thing in press down, does the same thing, running over in percentage, well, the same thing. But to come to a higher level of riches and glory, it is only the Father that could do that. And that is what we are inviting you for, that you don't stay in the level. We don't want to say trading talent for cities, you know. That is something very, very big. That is huge. And that is what we are saying.
Now, viewers all over the world, let me tell you the implication of teaching this as an offering verse in the body of Christ. I'll tell you the reason. Every time people say, give, it shall be given unto you, you are telling people that God is just like natural man. He's on the other side. Unless you give him, he doesn't give back to you. Can you see that? Unless you give him, he doesn't give back. Unless you sow into him.
Don't
forget that Jesus said we should not even live that way. We should not sow into people because you want them to sow back to you. So you are simply saying that even we are more righteous than God. That's what you're simply saying. That is how ridiculous it is to bring God down to that level using such verses like this. What we know is in James chapter 1, he said that God, who is the Father of lights, That's what he called God. It says what? He said, God, every good and perfect gift, can you see that, comes down from above, from the Father of light, in whom there's no shadow of turning nor variableness. What that verse means is, it means he will not change his mind. Bible said the gifts and the callings of God are without what? Repentance. It means that the reason why God chooses to bless you has got nothing to do with what you are given to God. It's got everything to the nature of the Father. And that is what we need to understand when it comes to giving.
And if you decided to stay on the sowing and reaping
level, if you level, bring yourself down to that level,
you just have the natural experience, just like every other sinner, just like every investment you put into bank, anything, you just get it in the returns of what you give, 30%, 60%, 100%, That is all. But we are calling you to the supernatural life, to live your true nature. And then we are calling you to the riches in glory. We are taking you beyond the levels of the returns and percentage to come into some batches of glory, to get it in beyond in the realm, beyond the scale of what you sow. And that is what your life should be. There should be a difference between you and a sinner. That is why Jesus was saying, what is the difference? If you are doing the same thing,
you are just a pagan. You're just a sinner.
So what is the difference? What is the difference between you and your neighbor doing the same thing? They invest. They might not say it. They invest into people.
They might not invest in the church. They might probably invest in...
into people, into good causes, just like your charity causes, your kingdom causes. They might feel it's a charity cause too, and they do the same. And they get back too. So what difference is it? It doesn't make any difference. So that's why we call you to the higher operating system, to upgrade your life in the New Testament reality into beyond the sowing and reaping.
Where your father feeds you beyond your own ability to sow and to reap.
According to his riches in glory.
According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Beyond your skill.
That's it. Now, we've established that fact today. And for those who are asking that question, I believe you can see this verse. It's not for you. Now, this verse is for you to walk with unbelievers.
And that giving is not only about money.
It's general.
About giving of judgment, justice, and everything. That is it, giving. If you do that, it's not actually reduced to money.
Have you noticed that there are some in the area of politics, there's some people, when something actually terrible, when somebody falls into some kind of error in politics, some other people will refuse to criticize the person.
Yeah.
So that by the time they to have any such similar issues, that the person too wouldn't criticize them. You see, Jesus is simply saying, well, this is how men think.
That's the normal operating system.
That's the normal operating system of man. He says you need to live beyond that. You can't live at that level. And see, before we go on to other verses, to clarify this living beyond sowing and reaping, what I want you to understand is, when it comes to the realm of grace, if you notice in Matthew 10:8, we're not going to read that, I'm just going to quote that. In Matthew 10:8, Jesus told the disciples, he said, freely you have received and freely give. Now look at the concept. Can you see how Jesus twisted the verses? Can you see people talk about you give so you can receive? Jesus said, well, you have received. Can you see that? Your starting point matters a lot. And that's what we're simply saying to you for the past few episodes. We're saying to people, any teaching that tells you give this year so that you can receive from God is actually undermining the finished work of Christ. It is destroying the whole essence of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It is spoiling what you have received in Christ Jesus. If it tells you, give so that you can receive. What Jesus tells disciples is, you have received, so give. And that's why we said that you should know the grace of our Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Apostle Paul said, you know. You see, it was a verse on giving, but it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. If you don't know the grace of our Lord Jesus, you would not know what you have. You would not know what you possess, that you were made rich only because of the poverty of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with anything. So he told him in Matthew 10:8, he said, freely
you have received.
So every time you give, wherever you are, whether you are giving to a ministry, you are giving to, you must come with the understanding that I have received all I need for life and godliness has been given to me through my knowledge of him who has called me unto glory and virtue. You come with that revelation. He said, so nobody can then manipulate you to tell you that when you give, then God, you can receive from God. You can tell the person, no, you are getting it twisted, please. I have received because Christ was my exchange. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in high places. I have all I need for life, and I'm giving because I've received. Can you see, it is important that we come with that understanding. And that's why he told them that. And you see, every time you come with that understanding of grace, it is very hard for the devil to manipulate your thinking. And that's what you need to understand.
Thank you for bringing that verse. The starting point is freely you have received.
Point is receiving.
Yes, you just have to know and understand.
The starting point is not
that
giving.
You have received. So that is the starting point of every teaching on giving. It's like you must know that freely you have received. You know, it's still in consonance with what we've been discussing, even from that episode of the Pastor Henry writes to raise an offering.
They must make you know you have received
first
before they talk about giving.
Not that they are taking it to give, to get, to receive. That you give to receive. No, we can see the consistency of the scriptures.
We receive to give. And the receiving is only completely at the doorstep of what Christ gave to us at redemption. And that's actually what happened. And I think you see what you're talking about.
You must really know that you have received first. So anybody that has not even established for you that you have received first has no right to ask you to give. To know that is a freely you have received. It was not, Jesus was not talking to those disciples and saying, give so that you can receive.
No, he said you have received.
Freely you have received. So you really need to come and sit down to know all those things you have freely received.
Have you noticed that when Peter got to the gate of Beautiful and they saw the man who was lame, Peter said, what I have, I give unto you. Every time you are given, whether money, whether time, whatever you are given,
deeds of kindness,
you need to talk tough. You see, that's the reason why you have to listen to our last episode that we did on last Sunday, where we said talk tough and cut the supply chain. Peter said, what I have, you see, I'm starting with knowing that I've received, then something. I give to you. So every time you give your offering, some people got it twisted. People think we're simply saying that because of this kind of teaching that people should not give anymore. Some people are asking the question that, are you saying we should not give? We never say you shouldn't give. We are only simply saying that when you are giving, you must understand that
you have received.
You are not giving to receive. You have received to give. And that's what we are simply saying. Every time you are giving so that you can receive, you slide all the way down to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You leave the new covenant in Christ Jesus, and you start frolicking with the old covenant.
And
every
you
time
see
you do
all
that.
When they are talking to us, they say, they know what we have, we give. So you must come to the point, you know, when people, they make people, when they want to collect offering from them, they even begin to see the poverty of themselves.
That you don't have. So give so that you can move to the next level.
You know, that is the thing. They just create that. They rubbish the work of Christ make them feel destitute. They bring them to the point of being desolate and desperate because that they don't have anything. They don't have any. And the way to help themselves out of that situation is to give. But you see, Peter that was saying, what I have, I give. So you really need to get and sit down to know what you have freely received.
That's
because even Jesus has to talk to disciples. They really pray freely. You have what if they know? If they don't know that they have freely received some things, then the way they will give will not be that way. Will not be scriptural because they want to be given so that I will get back. Just like in the men's way of getting back, so in our ripple, let's give to them so that maybe they will be able to get back when we come back into that city. But he said, no, freely you have received. So we must come to the point of knowing what.
So why would Jesus say that to them? Why would Jesus tell them that, please, disciples, before you go, just know that you have received?
And now, Jesus was not telling them to walk on the prayer, give to them so that next time you can receive.
No, you have
them.
Received already.
You have received. So that
blessed
is what we are calling you to the new scripture, to the
Jesus.
New Testament way of living, the operating system, to fully know what
we
are freely.
God supplies all your needs according to his own riches.
We have freely received this. These things we already have before we give. So our giving must come from that place of
from
knowing that,
that
we have freely received all things that we need. We are not giving to get, but we are giving because we have freely received them all.
Amen. Now I think there are some other verses that will actually clarify these things, because I know some people are hitching the same, but we have some other verses in the New Covenant that
bring
talks about sowing and reaping. You see? And may I say this? You see, when Jesus teaches in the Gospel, because some people people think, oh yeah, the New Testament started from the Gospel. May I say this to you? The New Testament didn't start from the Gospel, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that a covenant or a will does not go into effect until the death
of
the testator. We have an episode on that, which is the death of the testator. You can read that. Until Christ died, it's a nobody's will. A testament is a will. Yeah. And nobody's will goes into effect until the person has died. So the New Testament and the blood of Jesus went into full effect at the point of his death and resurrection. Having said that, so at times when you read the Gospel, you need to understand that Jesus was speaking to men who were under the law. So in fact, you have to rightly divide the Gospels if you not get some things mixed up. But anyway, that's not our focus today. Now let's go to the New Covenant. Now where the sowing and reaping concept is still being mentioned. And again, we can establish to see, are we supposed to actually live by sowing and reaping concept? Now, Jesus has told us in Luke 6 how we should live. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, it's about seeds, sowing and reaping all over again in 2 Corinthians 9. Now, I'll read from verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now, listen to this. Now, if you've been with us on this episode, you would notice that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 are both fully dedicated to the topic of giving. That's those two chapters are focused on giving. So if you want to understand giving from the New Testament perspective, Those two chapters of the Bible are things you should actually dwell on and feed on. See what it says in 2 Corinthians 9. I'll read from verse 10. It said, he's talking about he, that's the Lord. Now he that ministers, 2 Corinthians 9, 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Now please, if you're going to talk about sowing and reaping to people, the Bible is simply saying, now there is someone who is he, the Lord, is the one that ministers the seed to the sower. It means, even if you teach sowing and reaping, you got to teach it honestly. It's simply saying, if people are going to even sow, he said, there is somebody that already ministered the seed. So people who are sowing because they already reaped something. I'll say this again. It seems to me, in the New Testament, it's reaping, then sowing. Can you see that? We say sowing and what? Reaping. The New Testament has turned it upside down. It's simply saying that somebody must minister the seed to the sower. And that is that he is talking about the Lord. He said, now he. Can you see that? If you read some other translation, he said, now the Lord that ministered the what? The seed. So it means before you sow at all, you at least need to understand that you have been ministered to.
You have received.
Hello, can you see that? You at least have to know you have been ministered to. Can you see that? That's what we're simply saying. Every teaching that turns it the other way around is doing the redemption of Christ no benefit. Can you see that? He said, now he that ministered seed to the sower. It means before you ever gave, you have a ministration of the Lord into your life. You have a supply already. You are not giving to have a supply. You are giving because you have a supply
already.
Can you see that? He said, now he that ministered seed to the sower. You've not even sowed. He said, even before you ever come to think you want to sow in the first place, there was a ministration in your life. So how can somebody tell you that give so that you can have a ministration? Can you see that? That is the scripture turned upside down. If anybody says, hey, this is the new year 2017, do you want an uncommon ministration of God into your life? Give. That is not scriptural. That is not new covenant. The Bible says, he that ministers seed to the sower, that's the Lord. You already have a ministration ever before you give.
Because he's a good God. He will not ask you to do again, what he has not done in you.
Again, you have a ministration of God's favor. You have a ministration of God's supply. You have a ministration of God's provision. You have a ministration of God's benefit. You have a ministration of God's goodness. You have a ministration of the goodness of God in your life before you give.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible says, he that ministered seed to the sower. This sower, before he ever sowed, somebody gave him seed. And he said, that person is he, the Lord, has given him seed. And I think that's why we said again, that don't ever teach giving to the sower, not until the sower knows that he is already loaded. The Bible says in Psalm 68, it said, blessed be God who daily loads us with benefits.
Even
the God of our salvation. Where is giving there? There's no giving in that verse. Can you see that? Before you think of sowing, somebody ministered. So you were too late. Before you were trying to get his ministration, he already ministered to you. The seed. Can you see that? So it means, anytime somebody says, give this year to break new ground, you can say, sorry, new grounds were broken already. Yes. I was ministered to already. Sorry. I was already ministered to in Christ. See, this is the way we are supposed to live in the New Testament. This is the way the scriptures enjoin us to live. He says, sorry, don't tell me to give to break new grounds. New grounds were broken in me. If Christ ministers to you, think about it. If Christ himself ministers to you, what does he think? He said, forget about laying up hands of somebody or pouring oil. If Christ himself is your ministration, he said, he that ministered seed to the sower. So see, the sower has not even sowed yet, but there's coming ministration upon his life. We're simply telling you today, what are we saying on this? That you are already ministered to. You are blessed. You are loaded before you ever gave. Before somebody tried to teach you to bless, to be blessed, to give, to be blessed, you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. I believe in Christ Jesus.
Why would you allow somebody to make a sport out of you and telling you, come out so that if I lay my hands on you,
you can minister to you.
Let me minister to you.
Ministers.
Bring money, bring this so that I can minister this to you. When you can find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9,
he that ministers seed.
Yes.
The show.
Now you can minister seed. So why would you, when you're already, if you know already that you already been ministered to?
Sorry, why is this he who is the Lord? Why is he waiting for you to sow the seed so that he can minister to you? Now this is what people teach. That you want the hand of God upon your life this year?
Do you want me to lay my hands on you?
Sow a seed that will provoke God to minister. No. This 2 Corinthians 9, New Covenant says, He that ministered seed to the sower, before you sow the seed, there was a ministration of the Lord. There was a ministration at Calvary. There was a ministration at the cross where Christ put to death every single curse affecting your life. You cannot give to break the curse. Christ became a curse to break the curse on your life. How can you give and break a curse in your family when Christ broke the curse because it became a curse? Listen, the Bible simply says somebody ministered to you before you even think of sowing the seed. Now that's what we're talking about. That if you can get that from today's episode, you will walk free in the liberty that Christ purchased for you through his blood. Galatians chapter 5. And that's what it's simply saying. Now look at this. Galatians 5, now, so, sorry, 2 Corinthians 9. What is it? He said, he that ministered
seed to the sower.
Seed to the sower. Now, good. So it means that, before we carry on, it means you reaped first before you even sowed.
So that is our Father, how good our Father is. That's why when he said he should be holy, he already put his seed of holiness, righteousness in
you. You already reaped.
Before
you began to sow. Can you see that?
That's the system we are calling you to.
You already get the ministration
before you
sow the seed.
Before you do your part.
That is what we're talking about. That is new covenant giving. Every teaching on giving that abuses this kind of scripture will spoil you of your benefit in Christ Jesus. And that's what you need to know today. Now it says, he that ministered. See, you already reaped a ministration before you sow the seed. And that's what it's talking about. Unless you know that, you have to hold on to your seed, whatever. Because there's no point in you giving. That's why the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren, even though I told you, we are making a collection for the saints, but I'm assuming you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. If you don't, please hold on first. Hold on. Don't give out of necessity. Don't give out of covetousness. Don't give out of pressure. Don't do it. I'm not as concerned as your money as to how you give it. Now, that's more important than what you give.
The revelation behind it, to know that.
It's more important. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. I'm more concerned about how you know you're given beyond what you are given. That's why he said, let everyone propose in his heart. I'm not really as concerned about the value or the amount it is. Just propose whatever you want to propose. But I'm more concerned, how did you do it? How did you come
about
to give
it?
How did you know you should give? Do you know that there was a ministration in your life already? Do you know that you have been touched by the life of Christ in you? Do you know
you
that the power that works in you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead? How can you then be under outside wickedness if the power that works in you is the same mighty working power that raised Christ from the dead? The Bible says death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. If the power of death could not hold Christ bound in the dead, how can you be held down if the same power that works in you is what worked in Christ to raise him from the dead? See, unless you know you have a ministration in your life,
unless you know that you're already supplied, you have all the supply,
unless you
of everything
know
you need,
that you are ministered to, before you even think of sowing any seed, you might be sliding all the way back to giving under the curse of Malachi 3, 9 and 10. And that's what we're talking about. See, again, we're going back to this. This 2 Corinthians 9, 10. It said, now he that ministered seed. Can you see that to the sower?
Yeah. Minister.
But minister bread for your food. Now he says, now it's just a kind of allegory. It says, so it's as good, the same person that gives seed to the sower, same person that gives, in fact, you know one thing, there's something I need to talk about now, because I know some ministers, some people do talk about the fact that, you know what, don't eat your seed. I mean, they say, you know what, if you eat your seed, you will suffer. So you have a seed in your hands, give it so that you can get the bread to eat. And I think when people say that, it means they have not actually looked at the scriptures in all its fullness. Now, at the risk of digressing, I might have to go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11, okay, that actually talks about this seed sowing and bread eating. Now, this got nothing to eating your seed and all these kind of things. They are all just human concept. The Bible never said anything like that. Now, hold on to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. We're going to come back there. I want to read Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, please. What does it say?
Isaiah 55, 10 and 11.
What does it say?
Well, direct comment to that.
Now, watch this. He's going to use the same seed sowing and bread eating. Now, the Bible says in Corinthians, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. Are you getting that?
Mm-hmm.
Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're going to establish this from another witness in the scriptures. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, what does it say?
As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven.
As the rain and the snow come from heaven.
And returneth not thither.
And returneth not back to it yet.
But watereth the heart.
It waters the earth.
And maketh his brain forth and bud.
And bud, okay.
That he may give seed to the sower.
Now it says, give seed to the sower. Uh-huh.
And bread to the heat.
Now watch this. He said he gives seed to the sower and he gives bread. Now, he didn't say he gives seed to the sower so that the sower can sow the seed and then he can get bread to eat. Now, continue. Now we're going to get more clarity now. Come on, please.
So shall my word be.
So now, this is a comparison now. He's actually making a comparison. He's not even actually as concerned as somebody doing agriculture, because this is not about agriculture. He's only making a comparison to how the word of God works. Can you see that? Now go on. He says, so shall my word be. So, can you see? In the same way, in the same analysis, in the same understanding, so shall my word be. What will he do?
That goeth forth out of my mouth.
Okay.
He shall not return unto me void.
Okay.
But he shall accomplish that which I please.
Okay.
And he shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent him.
So now we understand. Actually, what he's simply saying is, he said, in the same way, when I release my word, when I give my word, it will prosper where I send it. My word will achieve. The reason why it was released, it won't come back empty. So Jesus is, and the word is saying, Isaiah, that what I mean by saying that the word will provide seed to what? If you are a sower, if you are a farmer, you see, your target is to have what? Seed to sow. And if you are somebody that eats, your target is to have bread to consume. He said, the whole point is to say, well, you know what? If you, whatever is the thing that you want to actually accomplish for destiny, the word can become that thing to you to accomplish the purpose. It's got nothing to say about the fact that you sow the seed so you can have bread to eat. This is about comparison. Now listen, it's simply saying here that whatever you want to give in 2 Corinthians 9:10, whatever you want to give, whether you're going to give time, money, whatever, you need to give it understanding that you were ministered what?
To.
So if your purpose, if your focus is to sow a seed, you need to know that you are sowing that seed from the abundance of what God has given you. If you are, he's making a comparison. If it's about eating as well, to eat, you need bread to what? To eat. You have to understand that God is still the one that supplied you before you ever think of eating the bread. So this is not about sowing seed and eating bread kind of thing. It's got nothing to do with that. It's a matter of comparison. It doesn't matter whatever state you have. God. That's why the Bible says Christ, can you see, is made unto us. Can you see that? Christ is made unto us. The wisdom and the power of God is simply saying, it doesn't matter your status quo. It doesn't matter whether you're high up in society, whether you're down there, you are a farmer sowing seed, or you are a consumer eating bread. It doesn't matter whatever you are, wherever you are. The word of God is made unto you the relevance of your life and destiny.
And it also shows that in that verse that every level of need is supplied.
That's what it's saying.
Because you if you're at the bread eating, at that pyramid of needs, and hierarchy you are, if you are, you are a sower, if you are the one consuming at every level of needs, and that food chain is graciously supplied. So if it's at the bread level you want to eat, you've already been provided for. If you are the one sowing seeds into nations, into every capacity,
The word of God meets the need. That's why
you have been graciously supplied for every capacity that you have, for every food chain of rich level you have, for every of the needs. Yours might be different from the other ones.
That's what he was trying to. That's what I was saying. That it's diverse.
Yes. Your capacity and what your challenges might
at that time is diverse,
and then it covers all.
That's what it seems the same.
That he has graciously supplied all, everyone. That is it.
And it's simply saying that you can never be intimidated by any need in your life, because you are starting to address the need from the understanding that you have received. You have all things you need for life and godliness. You have all things you need for life and godliness. You are not at a disadvantage. That's what it's simply saying.
And you are not in a destitute and desperate position to give, to come out.
So you can tell people, you can tell your situation, you can tell your circumstance, you can tell your environment that what I've received, I've given to you. So like Peter said, that which I have, I give unto you. You come with that notion, you come with that revelation that you have received. Therefore, you are capacitized to give at any point in time. And that's what it's simply saying. So what we have established is, even if you're going to talk about seeds and sowing at all, again, there's nothing in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 that simply encourages sowing and reaping. In fact, if you're going to think about it, it actually encourages reaping and sowing. If you're going to even look at it at all, that's what is encouraging. That if you know that you have received, if you know you have a ministration upon your life, then sow the seed, if you know that.
So
if
it's
you
just like that. A New Testament twist. Before sowing.
You reap and then you sow. Not the other way around. Because the scripture tells you, if you live by sowing and reaping, you are just as good as a sinner. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. And that's what we've seen.
And how difficult is that to reap before sowing?
And that's what the scripture says. Now, you see, quickly, so that we can expatiate more on this, let's go to Acts chapter 20, and we see the apostolic understanding of Apostle Paul as it concerns this. Acts 20, verse 29, because the Apostle Paul also actually brought this into context in the book of Acts. And you see, this really applies to those that minister at the altar. And you see, don't forget one thing, that the Apostle Paul has been one of the most greatly misunderstood person in the scripture. You know what Peter said about Apostle Paul? He said, unstable men, they take Paul's, they twist it out of context. Now, you know why Paul's writing are so dangerous? In fact, I think very soon, if I'm a publisher of the Bible, like all the Zondervan publishers, I know people that publish the Bible, I probably can write all the Pauline epistles, I can say, enter at your own risk, really, because you can put a sign, because you know what? You can rest or take out of context Paul's writing. Now, Peter didn't say in 2 Peter, when he talked about Apostle Paul, he says his writings are very hard. He says, unstable men take his writings out of context to their own detriment. That's the problem. To their own detriment. Now, see what Paul said in Acts 20. Now, see his writing. Acts 20, 29, please. What does it say?
For I know this.
Okay.
That after my departing.
Yeah.
Shall grievous wolves enter in among you?
Yeah, Paul said, I know there'll be wolves coming out, okay?
Not sparing the flock.
They won't spare the flock, okay?
Also of your own selves shall men arise.
Okay.
Speaking perverse things.
Okay.
To draw away disciples after them.
Okay, now we're actually in doubt about what these men would do, these wolves in sheep clothing, and these perverse men and all that. We're in doubt of what they will do, but now it's going to actually give us clarity on what these men will do. Now look at verse 31, please.
31. Yeah. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Okay.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to give you hope.
Watch that word grace again in verse 32. He said, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace. Now watch this. He's commended the Ephesian brethren to the grace of God. And don't forget, we've established what the grace of God is, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that even though Christ was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. So if you're going to live by the same grace, you have to know that the poverty of Christ made you rich. And if you know you are rich also, you know you're going to give because you're rich. Now again, look at verse 32. Now go on, please. Verse 33.
I have coveted no man's silver.
That's interesting.
Or gold.
Okay.
Or apparel.
Now, well, he says, well, I've not actually coveted anybody's gold or silver or apparel. Now, go on, please.
Yeah, you yourselves know.
Okay.
That these hands have ministered unto my necessity.
Okay.
And to them that were with me.
Okay, now this man said, you know what? I have ministered to the necessities of them that are what?
With me.
Now my question is,
for himself and the people that
why is Paul the person giving not just to his own needs and to people around him? Now he will tell us his mentality now. He will tell us why he did it. Now look at him. Now look at it. Go on, please.
I'll show you all these. How that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak.
To support, okay.
And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus.
Okay.
How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Again, let's break this down. It's simply saying, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's why he's giving to his own needs and the needs of those around him. Now, let's look at one thing. Most people who quote this scripture on the altar, you see, when people say, yeah, now today, or the pulpit, sorry. Now today is the day of, it's time to receive offering. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Unfortunately, when people quote those scriptures, have you noticed when Paul quoted it, Paul was the one doing the giving. Some ministers quote these verses to people so that people, they can receive from people. And now, Paul was the one that did the giving. When he made reference, if you're going to at least make reference to this scripture, you should at least be the one doing the giving. Now, if you're not the one giving, please don't use this kind of scripture. Because Paul was the one doing the giving, even not just to himself, but even to those around him, when he made this statement in the book of Acts 20, verse 35. Now, let's say this. The reason why he said it's more blessed to give than to receive is, you see, people kind of misunderstand this. Like I said, people take Paul's word out of context.
Yeah.
To their own detriment.
So they use that verse and they want to receive.
See what people say? People said, well, what this verse says is, it is, when you give, you are more, now listen to that, when you give, you are more blessed than when you receive. That's not what it said. But that's what we think it says. Now, again, like I said, Peter said that Paul's writings are hard and people can take it out of context to their own detriment. He never said It is blessed. You get blessed when you give. He said it is more blessed. Now listen, it means it is a demonstration of the fact that you are blessed when you give. Now, how did I know that? Because you got to read this thing in context. The Bible says after the matter of two or three witnesses, you have to establish every matter. You cannot take one verse of the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10 that we read simply told us that he that ministered what? Seed to the sower. So that was a ministration before the sowing of the seed. Again, Paul is saying here that you see, when you give, you are demonstrating the fact that you are more blessed. You are blessed. It means your giving actually reflects your revelation that you know you are loaded already. You see, you cannot take one verse out of context. So this verse, rather than saying give to be blessed, is simply saying It is more blessed. It's a more
from a blessed
demonstration
position.
Of blessing. You show that you are blessed when you give than what. Now let's look at this. Have you noticed one thing? He didn't say that when you receive, you're not blessed. And I think we need to break this down so you can understand. The fact is, it's actually talking about how people notice. How can people find out? For example, if somebody receives, they could as well be blessed. But it's simply saying it is more obvious. Mm-hmm. You can read it. You wouldn't be in doubt about it that when somebody gives, that they know they are given because they are what? They are blessed. But even having said that, people that use these verses as a means to encourage people to actually give, are they simply saying that people are more blessed than them? I don't understand your point, because the old fact is the Apostle Paul used this verse when he was even the one doing the giving. Can you see that? And that's what we need to understand there from what it simply said.
And if you have to look at the verse, to go back, if you have time, I want you to sit back and look at these verses, especially this Acts chapter 20. You know, he established the credentials, you know, it's right. he has seen and he contrasted himself with some other folks.
Yeah.
So he said, I've shown to you. I've shown that by proof. To you, my hands have labored. For some people have said that hands is not the laboring, spiritual laboring, but you know he's talking about the physical necessity here.
Yes.
So his hands have provided for his own food, he has provided for even for him and for himself and people around him. He has supplied these needs, and he's doing that from the position of knowing that he's blessed.
Mm-hmm.
No, from that position,
I know I'm blessed.
He knows he's blessed.
I'm going to provide for your needs.
He's making that reference that he's more blessed. You are in a blessed position when you give than when you are receiving. But you know, when people now quote this verse, all these mischief makers, when they quote this verse, they are quoting it to receive from you. They don't even have the credentials, you know. For you to quote this verse, you really must...
You must be the one giving, not the
yes,
one
Yes, you
receiving.
Have the credentials, and what is the credentials? You see that you don't covet. You don't see it's not done out of covetousness or somebody's silver or somebody's money. You are not even coveting the member's money, their gold or apparel, and then you have shown to them that you have provided for your own necessity, not only for yourself. You have worked with your hand and people with you, and that you have the knowledge, the background knowledge, that you are in a blessed position. And because you are in that blessed position, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything you need for life has been graciously supplied. Then you give because you know you are already blessed. That is it. And so if you don't fulfill all those criteria, you have no business in that verse at all. if you are not like Paul. So you are raising offerings of covetousness. You have not supplied gracious. You have not worked and provide for your own necessity and people around you. And you don't even understand that this you are giving from the blessed position, not that you are giving to be blessed. There's no point. You shouldn't come around this verse at all.
And you see, there's something that comes to heart, and that's verse 31 of Acts chapter 20. He said, "Watch and remember." And I think this is where the whole thing boils down to.
Yeah.
That we cannot completely blame those ministers who do such things. In fact, there's some ministers, what by the time they take the cars or take somebody's lands, even if you go back the next day,
you
say, no way.
They simply say,
if you have given and you want to take it back, you want to be cursed or something. They try to intimidate man. Now listen, Acts 20 verse 31 says, "Therefore watch and remember." That is why I think I will encourage our viewers all over the world to go and look for one of our titles that we actually tied to Talk Tough
and
Cut the Supply Chain. You need to listen to that particular teaching. It will liberate your soul. It would deliver you from all the traditions that actually go around this kind of thing. The reason why you need to is because it's simply saying there in verse 31, therefore watch and remember. It means in most cases when people get merchandise, it's because people are not watching by the word. You know, and when you watch by the word. You watch by the word and prayer. People are not watching. People are not loaded with the word. People are shallow. The word of Christ is not dwelling in us richly. And that's why we are just easy victims of merchandise.
So if
that's
you do not remember that you have everything graciously supplied.
If you don't remember that you are already blessed, I mean, automatically somebody will tell you to give so that you can be blessed. Even people can tell you that, look at this house, look at this house, look at us, look at what is happening. Things are happening in this place. You can sow into that anointing. You see, people say all this is, which anointing is greater than the anointing that was upon Christ? The book of John chapter 3 said about Christ, he had the spirit without measure.
Yes.
Hello? Every man that you see today
is with a measure.
Has a measure of the anointing of God. Because everybody carries the part of Christ. No, but that's why we are all members of the body of Christ. Nobody has the fullness of the measure of Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. But the Bible says concerning Christ Jesus in John 3, the Bible said he had the spirit without measure. So tell me, which kind of house do you want to sow into to get some anointing? So sow into this house. You can sow into the anointing to connect to the anointing. See, you've already connected to the anointing without measure.
Indeed.
And that's Christ Jesus. Bible said he is the head. And from him, he said, all joints and marrows, everything is
fitly
joined together, is graciously supplied. Colossians 3, Colossians 2, go and read it. You already connected to the head, which is Christ, the one that had the anointing without measure. So what are you talking about showing into your house to connect to the anointing in the house? And they're telling you you're not blessed. You see, have you noticed, before people tell you to sow into the house, they have to make you understand that you're in a deplorable state already. That's the point. They have to deprive you of your benefit of Christ before they can sell to you what they are talking about.
Out of the Christ
they have to dislodge you out of Christ before they sell to you that solution that they're talking about. And that's why you must take your stand. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 5, it said, resist ye him standing firm
in the faith.
You have to take your stand. And that's what see, everything we are talking about on this particular series today, or this episode today, is to let you know that you need to take your stand. You be watchful and remember that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, that there is a ministration upon your life. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Before you think of sowing a seed, go and read it. The verses are there in the Bible. It says that ministered seed to the sower. You already ministered to already. So tell anyone, before I sow my seed, I was already ministered to. I have a ministration of Christ upon my life.
And if you are thinking we are supporting, not giving, you can even see Paul was giving.
No, so we're not going against giving.
We do, by the grace of God, God is helping us to give. So how can you be a child of God that will not be like your father?
No, you've got to give. But
you've
of
got
course.
To give, but you give in that revelation, you give in that knowledge. And now we're bringing this to a conclusion, because we cannot go over and over and on this. Again, to know that the responsibility is on us. You have to do the watching. And that's where Knockout Series was. You see to it.
Yeah, that nobody spoils you.
You have to stay
of your inheritance in Christ.
You have to stay at alert and watch your goods and watch and guide this benefit of Christ that they want to steal away from you. You have to watch it. So the responsibility is on you. We cannot even blame the other side. It's just on you, and see that you want to cut yourself off the target market of the ravenous wolves. You know, those people, because even Paul was saying in his days that they were coming. They are coming.
It's not amazing that he actually connected ravenous wolves. He actually connected it to what? The issue of converting goats, and connected to what? Giving and receiving. Can you see? He connected everything.
So what is happening now in the body of Christ is not new. Even in the time of Paul, there were ravenous wolves. And then he was telling you, so you to know what those ravenous wolves are after. You know, he said the gold, your apparel, your house, your, all those things. Those are the things, your silver, those are the equivalents of money. Those are the things they are after. And they want to take you out of it. So your own is what? And remember, so you must sit down and watch and remember, putting all the things he has said in remembrance, that you have been graciously supplied, to know that you are freely received, so you give.
That your status at the moment is only completely dependent on your union with Christ. We repeat, only, not with some things, only. He is your life. In fact, the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, can you say that? You know what life means? It means there's nothing else. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall we appear with him in glory. He is our life.
And that Second Corinthians was telling you, have already been ministered to. So why are you looking for any anointing off from Jerusalem? How are you looking for the laying hands and handkerchief for some people when you have been you have been ministered to already. Christ, which thou made.
He said, now he that ministered seed to the sower. That's what he said.
So we are going to leave you to chew on these, and we are trusting the Lord that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you will remove yourself from the target market of these ravenous wolves. You'll be removed from those people that want to spoil you and make a spot, you know, a spot out of you. And so we are trusting the Lord that you're going to join us next weekend, Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, and Sunday, 9 a.m. as we continue on this Carcery. So we want to say we release you into that fullness of God. So stay blessed.
Amen. God bless you. Bye.